Taylor's Fault by Resp of TW. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. It was all Taylor's fault. Not that John would ever voice that thought anywhere Taylor could hear him. No matter what certain Canadian physicists thought, his survival instincts were better than that. It was a hard, cold fact that John would rather face down an entire fleet of Wraith cruisers with nothing but his P-90 in his hand than angered Taylor. Anyone who felt differently was severely lacking in any sort of wits. Even Rodney would be forced to agree with that. Rodney. Of course, his thoughts would come back to Rodney. Thinking of Rodney wasn't an unusual thing for John to do. He knew that he thought about his best friend more often than could be reasonably explained in a wholly platonic fashion. He'd come to terms with that. 20-plus years of repression worked wonders for keeping non-platonic feelings for your very male best friend bottled up. The problem was that he was thinking about Rodney a whole lot more than usual. It was getting harder and harder to keep the stopper on his bottle closed, and it could all squarely be blamed on Taylor. Christmas hadn't been a consideration for anyone during their first few years on Atlantis. It was hard to spare the energy to think about jolly old St. Nick when they'd all been too busy surviving whatever catastrophe of the week the Pegasus Galaxy had decided to throw at them. John supposed it was possible that some of the more religious members of the expedition took a moment to celebrate, but it hadn't been on anyone's radar in any real way. Woolsey had changed that. It was another unexpected layer in their third leader that had surprised everyone. The longer Woolsey was with them, the less stiff and starched his personality became, even if his uniform remained immaculately pressed at all times. It wasn't just Christmas that Woolsey made time and space for. They were a multinational. Hell, they were a multi-universal expedition after all. But the Christmas thing was John's problem at the moment. Or to put it more accurately, it was the mistletoe thing. The thing about not celebrating any of these holidays before was that Taylor and Ronan didn't really know anything about the celebrations of the many cultures from Earth. Ronan didn't care much beyond trying any new food that was on offer during the celebrations, but Taylor could give the Earth anthropologists a run for their money when it came to learning about new cultures, so she took an interest, especially in Christmas, as it was a holiday that both John and Rodney, the two people from Earth she was closest to, had celebrated in their pre-Pegasus lives. Taylor had embraced Christmas with all the passion that she put into everything she did, and John would have been fine with that. He would even have been happy about it, if only she hadn't gone quite so overboard with the mistletoe. Almost overnight, no corridor or doorway or transporter seemed to be safe from mistletoe. John had made the mistake of asking where they had managed to find such copious amounts of the plant in the earshot of David Parrish, who had practically bounded over to their table and started to explain that it wasn't really mistletoe, but actually an incredibly similar plant that grew in the forested areas of PXY-723. And while its resemblance was uncannily like that of their own mistletoe, unlike the Earth equivalent, the berries weren't poisonous, but tasted slightly like elderflower, and the kitchen staff were planning to use them in a few weeks to make cordial, and wasn't that neat? And thankfully, Rodney had joined them at that point and scared Parrish away. "I think it's a lovely tradition," Taylor said. "I was pleased to recognize the plant, and the botanists were extremely helpful in harvesting enough for our purposes." "And what purpose is that?" Rodney asked through a mouthful of sage and chestnut stuffing. "Enabling all my horny scientists to get their lips on Conan the Barbarian over here?" Ronan smirked, grinning as he got his hand slapped for trying to steal a chipolata from Rodney's plate. It was true that Ronan seemed to have fallen prey to many a stray mistletoe kiss in the half a day since they had appeared. John couldn't really blame them for shooting their shot. It was amusing. Right up until Cadman lay one on Rodney as they left the mess hall 20 minutes later. John had seen Cadman coming, and exchanged a smirk with Ronan, anticipating the shrieking reaction from Rodney that he knew was coming. But his smirk had quickly fallen off his face when Rodney had done the exact last thing that John would have expected him to do and kissed Cadman back. Thoroughly. John had given a lot of thought over the years to Rodney's slanted lips and how they would open under his. He'd imagined Rodney would be good at it, but other than the awkward kiss between Cadman and Rodney's body and Carson, John had never seen the real deal before. Nothing would ever be the same again. Rodney could kiss. Cadman had been the one to let out a surprised squeal before her body practically melted against Rodney. John was pretty sure he wasn't the only one having a hard time processing what he was seeing. And unfortunately, it soon became clear that he wasn't the only one who liked what he'd seen. Rodney pulled away from the kiss, his lips pinker than usual, a slight sheen of wetness on them, which John wanted to taste. "Jesus, McKay," Cadman laughed shakily. "I might need a minute or two for my legs to work again after that." Rodney blushed slightly at that. "Yes, well, never had any complaints." "I can't imagine you have," Cadman said. "Who knew you had it in you?" John bit his tongue to keep from shouting that he had known, or at least suspected. He wasn't going to let something as stupid as a witness mistletoe kiss then stop her the bottle. It was just one kiss, after all. Except it wasn't. Rodney was suddenly the hottest commodity in Atlantis. Over the course of the next few days, John was witness to no less than 6 different kisses between Rodney and various members of the expedition, and he'd heard of at least 5 more that had happened when he wasn't with Rodney. It was a very specific form of torture. Each kiss, each breathy moan, each barely seen flicker of tongue that he could just make out between a Rodney and someone else's lips was killing him. How is he supposed to ignore his non-platonic feelings when every time he closed his eyes, his mind played a high-definition memory of Rodney's lips, Rodney's kisses, Rodney's tongue? Really, it was a miracle he didn't break immediately. But inevitably, the break came. "Heads up, Doc," Lauren grinned, jerking his head towards the hanging mistletoe. Rodney rolled his eyes. "Again? Taylor, just how many of these did you hang?" "As many as it takes," Taylor said with a smile. John was about to ask what she meant by that when Rodney's tablet was pushed against his chest. "Hold this, will you?" Rodney said, taking a step towards a grinning Lorne. John's brain shorted out. "No," he said. There was a collective intake of breath in the room. "No?" Rodney repeated. "No. You're not going to hold my tablet." John shifted uncomfortably. The stopper was out, and once it was gone, there was nowhere for his spray of feelings to go but out. Might as well let it happen, he thought. "I'm not going to watch while you get your jollies with..." "Get my jollies?" Rodney interrupted incredulously. "With someone who isn't me," John finished deliberately. Whatever Rodney was planning to say was derailed by John's words. Rodney had stopped cold. There was silence in the room. After a moment, Lauren stepped forward. "I'm just gonna take this," he said, handling the tablet Rodney still had pressed against John's chest. The absence of the tablet let John close the gap between him and Rodney. He maneuvered Rodney back a couple of steps until the mistletoe was hanging between them. "Heads up, Doc," he said. Rodney grabbed John's shirt and pulled him close and... Jesus. If John had thought Rodney's kisses looked hot as hell, it was nothing compared to how they felt. He had never been kissed like this before, and he knew deep down in his bones, knew that he wouldn't be kissing anyone but Rodney for the rest of their lives. He heard Taylor say an exasperated, "Finally," and grinned around Rodney's lips. He'd have to remember and thank Taylor later. After all, it was all her fault. The end.